The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Around 50,000 people in Ireland are living with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Both conditions come under the umbrella of inflammatory bowel disease. Well, tomorrow, May the 19th, is World IBD Day. And I'm joined now by Professor Anthony O'Connor, who's consultant gastroenterologist at Tally University Hospital, who has treated lots of people, including children as young as 3 months old, with IBD. Anthony, you're very welcome.
Hi, Claire.
Thanks for coming in. So you want to talk about this, to raise awareness about it on this coming up to this day.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a hidden condition in many ways. A lot of these topics are things that are difficult for people to talk about, or maybe they don't want to talk about. But I'd be almost certain that nearly everybody in Ireland will know somebody with inflammatory bowel disease. Perhaps they don't know that they know somebody with inflammatory bowel disease, but you do. Mm-hmm. Because there are 50,000 people around us with these conditions. They're lifelong conditions. They have a huge impact on people's quality of life. And it's important, I suppose, really, that people don't feel stigmatised about them, because some of the stuff we've gotten back from patients in surveys over the years has been really disturbing about kind of the stigma and the difficulties people face. And I suppose we want to shine a light on that.
So people who have these conditions, can they ignore them?
For the most part, no. I suppose generally leading up to diagnosis, there's a range of symptoms might have, ranging from tummy pain, alteration in bowel habit, weight loss, bleeding and things like that. I suppose once the disease is diagnosed and identified and treated, we hope people can ignore them then, that they kind of live with taking their medications, coming to their appointments. And I suppose our aim as doctors and nurses is to get it into the background of people's lives rather than front and centre.
Yeah, which is a great way to have it, because there was a time when it wasn't in the background. It was in the forefront. I mean, really debilitating conditions at one stage.
I mean, 20 years ago when I first started practicing, we had very few options for patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And thank God the outlook is so much better now for people. We have drugs that we couldn't have dreamed of 20 years ago. But still, there's an awful lot of suffering out there, an awful lot of people who are struggling. And, you know, there's about 20 to 30% of people that no matter what drug we use, we still find it really, really difficult to get on top mm-hmm. of their disease.
So let's talk about how it's diagnosed then. If you have those conditions that you went through earlier, you go to your GP. What happens next?
So generally, your GP, depending on, I suppose, what type of symptoms you have, your age, your family history, factors like that, they will generally make a decision as to whether or not to send you for a test like a colonoscopy, or perhaps more sort of non-invasive tests first, like blood tests and stool tests, to give us a clue. Okay, so I suppose if you turned up positive on a blood test or a stool test suggesting there may be inflammation, then you'd probably go on and have a colonoscopy. And that's where we make most of the diagnosis of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Sometimes we diagnose it with CT scans or things like capsule endoscopies, which are little pills with video cameras in them. So there's lots of ways we can diagnose them. But I'd say for 90% of people, it's that colonoscopy.
And you're looking at the results of those tests, are you?
Yeah.
Or somebody like you?
Yeah.
And what are you looking for?
I suppose generally what we will see is inflammation, ulcers. In Crohn's disease, we'll see narrowing of the bowel. We don't tend to see that in ulcerative colitis so much. But they'd be the findings. We'd take biopsy samples, they get sent off to the lab, and then our colleagues, the scientists and pathologists that work there, would interpret those biopsies and tell us what the most likely diagnosis mm-hmm. is.
And then you take your treatment plan from there.
Absolutely.
And is surgery included in those treatment plans often?
Sure, absolutely. Surgery is a very important part of it. So for people with ulcerative colitis, about 20-25% of people with ulcerative colitis will require surgery. For Crohn's disease, I suppose the headline figure is about 55-60% of people needing surgery over the course of a lifetime. But we think with the drugs we have now, when we're looking back at the lifetimes of people diagnosed in the 2010s, 2020s, that number of people who require surgery at some stage will become an awful lot less than it is now. But still, it's an important part of management. And for some people, you know, at some point of your disease, surgery might be the right option. At another point of your disease, medicine might be the right option. It's not an either or. It's a buffet.
And it affects people of all ages. But the most common age for diagnosis is around when?
Sort of 16 to 30. And then there's like another peak around sort of 50 to 60 where we see another large group of people diagnosed. But people can be diagnosed at any age.
And you have seen very young babies.
The youngest I've ever heard of, a colleague of mine in the children's services, diagnosed it at 3 months old. Equally, I diagnosed somebody in their 80s once with ulcerative colitis. So it can occur at any stage of life.
And that person in their 80s, would they have lived with those symptoms their life, or did it just appear later in life?
This person in particular, I'm convinced that it did appear later in life. There are some people, and oftentimes women and Irish mammies in particular, sometimes they live with these symptoms, or they've been told it's IBS or something like that, and then we might make a diagnosis sometimes in the 60s that I think might have well been there for 15 or 20 mm-hmm. years beforehand. So it can happen. equally, it can happen that it can just evolve late in life.
Now, you mentioned IBS, and that's where the confusion arises. Will you explain to us the difference?
Sure. So IBS stands for irritable bowel syndrome. That's a very common condition, affects about 15 to 20% of the population. The symptoms are quite similar. But actually, when we look at the large bowel or small bowel of somebody with IBS, we don't see the ulcers and inflammation that we see in somebody with inflammatory bowel disease. Where it becomes interesting in some respects is that it's possible to have both. All right. So if you look at the general population, about 15, 20% of people have IBS. If you look at the IBD population, about 40% of those will have IBS on top of their IBD. So you can have both, you can have either, you can have neither. But it's kind of unfortunate, really, that they sound similar, because there's an awful lot of people get mixed up between the two. But they are very different conditions.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about bowel disease, we're talking about those two conditions that I mentioned at the top, Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. Is there anything else in that family?
Well, there's microscopic colitis, which I suppose is something that's a little bit less serious for most people. But I suppose within Crohn's disease itself, there's a huge range of types of Crohn's disease. It can affect different parts of the intestines. It can affect those parts in different ways, whereas ulcerative colitis is a little bit more uniform. You know, it only affects the large bowel. You know, it tends to behave the same way all the time, whereas Crohn's can be a little bit more unpredictable.
Are we seeing more of it?
Levels have kind of plateaued, we think, in Western Europe. In countries that have developed in recent years, we're seeing a skyrocketing of it, particularly in sort of Southeast Asia and places like that. But we think levels in Western Europe are probably plateauing.
At a high level, though?
At a high level, yeah. I suspect probably about 1% of the population, you know, has inflammatory bowel disease, which is a lot. You know, that's 50,000 people. Fill the Aviva Stadium.
So that would suggest that this is connected to our lifestyles, right?
We think it's about 40% genetic and about 60% lifestyle. All right. So if you're an identical twin, the chances of your identical twin also having inflammatory bowel disease is about 40%. So that's why we say about 40% of it is genetic. And what we think happens, and there's still a lot of uncertainty, is that you inherit, a suite of genes that put you at risk of these conditions. And then if you're unlucky, something happens in your life that provokes it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're seeing a rise then in the conditions in places that are newly maybe eating differently.
Absolutely.
Living in a different way as well. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how exposure to bacteria, to dirt, as you could put it that way, might decrease the risk of getting it.
That's a really interesting point. So I suppose historically, you know, we lived on farms, we lived in large families and small houses. Your immune system got a pretty good workout if you were living in a house with one toilet and 9 children growing up. Whereas nowadays we live in relative luxury and higher sanitary standards and things like that. The immune system probably doesn't learn as well as it should in the early years of life. Something we often see as well is that people who are exposed to lots of antibiotics in childhood are at greater risk of developing these conditions, because what's happening is we all have the microbiome, 9 trillion bugs that live inside of us, and that, you know, when we have antibiotics as children before the microbiome has fully formed, it tends to make us more likely to develop these diseases.
So watch out for the antibiotics in early childhood and put away the antibacterial spray, maybe.
Well, I wouldn't say that just yet. We're only just out of COVID, I suppose. but yeah, I mean, it is something that's worth thinking about, you know. Definitely we see fewer infectious diseases, and infectious diseases were a big problem too. So I guess it's a trade.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about stomas then, and the use of stomas. That's a very, or has certainly been a very stigmatized thing. I think it's changing though. I mean, we see a lot, certainly on social media, with younger people proudly showing that they have stoma bags now.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think that's one of the more positive aspects of social media that has come into our disease space, that people it has taken the stigma out of stomas. We're probably doing fewer stomas than we used to, thank God, because there's been an improvement in surgical techniques and an improvement in medications that we have. But still, for young people in particular, it's this huge thing. Now, what I would say to anybody who's having that conversation is I would suspect that all the patients I send for stomas, they all want to have it reversed before the operation. But then when they live with it, about half people say, this is fine. This is not too bad at all. This is nothing to fear. I'll actually keep my stoma rather than have another operation. So I've never regretted sending somebody for surgery with IBD. I can think of a few people I can regret not sending sooner. So it's important, I think, that we have these conversations about destigmatizing stomas so people aren't so scared about having surgery.
Okay. Well, Anthony, thank you very much for coming in. And just a reminder that it is World IBD Day tomorrow. Crohn's Crohn's and Colitis Ireland. They've developed a new guide for supporting people with inflammatory bowel disease. It's part of the It Takes a Village campaign. There's a webinar on tomorrow evening. So if you want to have a look at the guide and maybe register for the free webinar as well, if you go to crohnscolitis.ie and follow the links there to It Takes a Village, you will find all of the information that you need. Professor Anthony O'Connor, thank you very much.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.